All right, time once again for the movie retrospective. We're doing a double feature today.
That's right. We're going to commemorate the beginning of the Satanic Panic. It was movies like these that actually started the Satanic Panic. This is what brought it up, where everybody thought that there were satanic cults everywhere.
Yeah. This probably contributed. This was,
These two movies, The Exorcist, just Amityville Horror, Rosemary's Baby.
I really love the whole satanic.
Shatner, even Shatner did one.
We seriously have to do that one.
Shatner did a satanic movie.
What the hell was that movie called?
Forgot.
I can't remember it.
Terrible.
It was fun in a cheesy way, and you got to see Ernest Borgnine wearing a goat head.
That's right.
So
I have to watch it again. I didn't really watch it that closely. I just remember rolling my eyes at it. But
John Travolta was in it too, but you wouldn't recognize him unless you were looking for him.
I didn't see Shatner's one back in the day. I saw that one just more recently. So
yeah.
I'd have to get into that 70s mood to see it in its context. But these two movies here actually are real good ones.
Yeah.
They're good ones. Good forgotten ones. And they're both on Shudder right now.
Yeah, and that's why we decided to do both of them, because I'm like, hey, these are both from the 70s. They're both, they both kind of concern vehicles, and they're both, like, satanic. So I said, so it's like a satanic vehicular manslaughter double feature. We're doing The Car and Race with the Devil.
Yeah, and they're both restored. They look really good. The soundtracks are good. They are movies of their times. I don't remember what was called Race with the Devil. I don't remember that one, but from my childhood. But I remember The Car.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the kids at school were talking about it. That was about seventh grade, I think, when that hit.
Yeah, it came out in 1977.
Yeah, and all my friends were just talking about, you know, The Car, this devil car. And I didn't get to see it at the time in the theaters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just had to imagine it for a couple years, maybe a year. And then they showed it on television.
And was it everything you hoped it would be and more?
Yeah. Yeah, back in those days. But it looks even better in HD, like it was supposed to look on the big screen.
Yeah.
Because it looked like a cheap made-for-TV movie when I saw it on television.
Everything did, but it's like, I'm really glad that they're restoring a lot of these movies from the 70s.
It's a very high-quality movie for the time.
Yeah, they actually look so much better than what can, you know, even like when we saw them on cable or when we saw them on, like, shitty VHS.
Yeah.
You know, but now they look all, and you can see, like, the good cinematography.
I guess we can start off with...
they actually did know what they were doing.
I guess we'll start off with The Car. First.
Yeah, we're going to start with The Car, even though Race with the Devil came out first, but
The Car is going to be better known, I think.
Yeah.
So people watching this retrospective will probably want to watch it to see our review of The Car.
I wonder if this is where Stephen King got the idea for Christine.
I think so.
Although,
this is a lot of the Living Car movies and Possessed Car movies. This was the first one I remember, and they took a lot of...
There was other, like, kind of killer car movies in the 70s that was Duel. That came out in 1971, and that was based on an older, like, Richard Matheson
novella. Yeah, but this one's got Satan in it.
True. And there was also Death Race 2000 that came out in...
Yeah, Satan wasn't in
1975.
That,
but yeah, so this one they decided, we're going to take, like, the killer car genre and cross-pollinate it with the satanic cult genre.
Yeah, and it worked, if you ask me. It worked. And when the movie starts, you'll hear a sound, the song, and you can tell that Kubrick ripped this song off for The Shining.
See, I wanted to know about this, because... Like, not so much as the song goes on, but the opening theme for The Car sounds almost exactly... It's like, it sounds like an oboe, but it just has like, wah, 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 kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, at the beginning of The Shining, and I'm like, I wonder...
And it's the same riff.
And it's not the same composer, because we looked it up.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of wondering, how did that happen?
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar.
And the movie's balls to the walls. I mean, there's no explanation or anything. It just starts off with this spooky-ass fucking music, like from The Shining. I mean, you'll recognize it immediately. Car coming out of the damn tunnel, running over a cute girl within the first few minutes.
And a boy gets...
And a boy, yeah, he got seen
too. Doesn't run over it. Him necessarily,
him.
But it like
yeah.
it kind of pushes them. They're on bicycles and they're riding along. So this was filmed, it looked like, in California, Utah, somewhere like
that.
Yeah,
California,
and,
I'd say.
Yeah, parts of I think parts of it were filmed in Utah too.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so that's how it opens up. It's like this
no explanation.
These two like all American kids are like, you know, all good looking, and we're riding a bike down some like remote mountain road, and it's really pretty, like the beautiful scenery. And all of a sudden, this fucking car, which is like, I think it's a Lincoln Continental. But it's...
I looked it up. I don't think it was.
It
was heavily modified.
Yeah, it's super modded.
They widened it. They removed. They Frenched in the bumpers, put different bumpers on it, lowered the top. They dropped the top.
And they put, like, matte paint on it. It's matte black.
No door handles, no outer controls. It's just a... For the day, it was a fucking wicked-looking car.
Yeah.
It was it wasn't a muscle car. It was like a two-door luxury car.
Wikipedia says that it was a modified 1971 Lincoln Continental Mark III.
Okay, so it was
And that they actually made four of them.
Yeah, because they wrecked some of them.
Because they wrecked three of them, and then one of them was like for a close-up. So
yeah, and you could see it happen, and sometimes, you know, they'd bash in the front of it, doing an endo, you know, ride it, drive it too fast on a bumpy road. I saw the nose dig in one time and bend the bumper into an angle, and then the next shot it was repaired again.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were breaking those cars.
Well, yeah, that's why they had to have so many. So like I said, they had four of them like modded out. One of them they didn't wreck, and I think it's in a private collection somewhere. The other three they did wreck them, so they're wrecked.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a Lincoln Continental that they subbed out.
So somebody's running around running people over for no good reason, and the local cops get involved, and it's kind of like you know, a California desert area, you know, like in the outside the Sierra Nevada. You know, the Sierra Nevada is actually very deserty, you know. And I used to go there as a kid. And, of course, you know, they got Native Americans on the police force, too. And
there are so many people. I don't know how big this town is. I don't remember what town it's supposed to be. There are so many cops in this town.
Yeah, well, that's about normal.
I guess so.
The different shifts, and yeah, there's probably about
20. Because I was like, well, I liked that about this movie, because I said, you know, a lot of movies from the 70s, especially if it's set in like kind of a small town. Yeah, it's like two cops, and it's like, oh man, there's like all these murders, we don't know what to do. Yeah. But this actually showed there was like a dozen cops, man.
Yeah, and it was a whole force.
Yeah, it was like a whole force. So it was, that was like a realistic nod in its favor, because I don't usually see that.
And of course, the one it focuses in on the most is the young Burt Reynolds knockoff cop. Who, of course, is the dude from
Amityville Horror. It's James Brolin.
James Brolin. And he fucking knocks it out of the park.
With his 70s stash.
Yeah, he knocks it out of the park in this one. There's a lot of, like, 70s faces that, you know, in this one. The town drunks and wife beaters, and you instantly recognize them when you see them. You have the guy who played the head of OCP out of fucking RoboCop 1. What was his name? He wasn't in Chips, was he?
I don't remember.
I don't think he was in Chips.
But I want to say...
You'll recognize him when you see him. I forgot the
fun fact, the first time we watched this, because I saw this when I was a kid, and then I didn't see it again, but then when it came up on Shudder, the car in Race with the Devil came up on Shudder like the same day, and I was like, oh man, that's what we're doing. So I'm watching it. The first time I rewatched it, the little girls that's in it, because James Brolin is in it, and he has two daughters, and I guess he's like a widower, or he's divorced or something like that, but he has custody of his two daughters. Now, one of the daughters, the first time I watched this, and you'll back me up on this, I'm like, is that fucking Holly from Land of the Lost?
It looked like it.
It is not. However, I knew those two little girls. Now, those two little girls, I looked this shit up, are sisters in real life. Their names are Kim and Kyle Richards. Now, Kyle, who I think was the older one, she was in Halloween. She was also in Eaten Alive, the Tobe Hooper movie. And she had a recurring role on Little House on the Prairie, which is probably... I recognize her from that or from Halloween. Now, Kim, who I think is the younger one... No, she was the older one. I recognized her from Escape from Witch Mountain. She was also in Assault on Precinct 13. She was
the one.
Yeah, she was the little girl that the gang members by the ice cream truck that they shot.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that
was
her.
All right. Now, she's a lot younger in that one, though.
Yeah. Now, fun fact, those two sisters are now on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Fun.
Which you wouldn't really recognize, because I knew that I knew them from somewhere when I saw it. And at first I thought, that's the chick from Land of the Lost, right? I'm like, God, where have I seen her?
Yeah.
But yeah, so Escape from Witch Mountain was where I knew the one from. But I had seen the other one on Halloween and stuff like that. So fun fact. But yeah.
But
so,
this movie's a good movie. The tone of the movie, there's something about this movie that kind of reminds me of Gargoyles. Remember the movie Gargoyles?
Yeah.
The execution's a lot better. And it doesn't rely on gargoyle costumes or anything. It relies on this car. The car is the monster. Yeah. And it's paranormal, and it can do a lot of cool shit. It can ram through a house 6 feet off the ground, so it can kind of jump itself.
Yeah.
It can teleport. It can silently appear in your garage when your back is turned. It does a lot of cool shit. And, you know, there's when I was a kid, it used to trip me out because they were always trying to look into the car. And there's a scene where the door pops open and Brolin can look in and he sees something. Remember that?
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to know what the devil looks like. They'd never show it to you. And if somebody asks him later on, what'd you see? And he goes, nothing. I didn't see nothing.
Yeah.
Now, you don't know
the if... The thing about it, though, is that an interesting thing about this car, maybe this was done for budgetary reasons, but they never... I don't think they ever really come out and say that it's the devil in the car, really. I mean, now, there's a quote from Anton LaVey at the beginning of this movie. Yeah. And apparently Anton LaVey was kind of a consultant on this movie, just yeah, like he was in that
they
Williams.
They gave him some money.
Right. So, yeah. But I don't know. Like, they say stuff like dude that was in fucking... The movie with the banjos. What the fuck is the name of that movie? Why can't I remember stuff?
Movie with the banjos.
You know, the rape. The Ned Beatty rape movie. Ugh. What's the name of it?
Oh, you're talking about Squeal Like a Pig?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the name of that one? Shit. Now you got me. Now you got
God
me forgetting
it.
About it. Yeah.
I haven't even drunk that much and I can't fucking remember shit.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Deliverance.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. God damn, I'm getting old. It sucks,
yeah.
Folks. It's that mad cow disease. That's what we were talking about on the other show.
Your brain's fried.
It's a touch of the mad cow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so dude from Deliverance, now he says that he figures out that the car can't go on hallowed ground.
Yeah.
And they start to suspect that there's something supernatural going on because like they shoot at it and it doesn't make any dents or it doesn't flatten the tires. You know what I mean? Just shit like that.
The car also knows things it can't know. Like, it knows where people live. It knows
yeah.
where people are at any time. It's a spiritual force. It can teleport.
Yeah.
Brolin walked into his...
Although it doesn't do it all the time.
Brolin walked into his
garage.
The garage door was shut. He goes up to... I forgot what he's getting. He got something out of the tool bench.
Yeah.
Turned around and the car's there.
Ta-da!
He's like, oh, shit. And his wife's like, what is it? He's like... Go away, you know, shut the door, leave. He's like, what is it? And he just says, go. Because back in the 70s, when something was wrong, you didn't tell a woman.
Yeah.
You just went, go. So you just, you
everyone
know,
just left us in
go.
The dark about
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
We didn't
understand.
Know what the fuck was going on. No one would tell us shit.
It's funny, man, because Brolin's walking around in that damn mustache and that cop outfit, you know, and he's walking around tough as nails, you know what I mean? Like a Burt Reynolds. And he takes his shirt off. And a motherfucker got the arms like that. 70s was a different era. You could just act like a badass and get away with it back in the 70s.
Yeah, we were talking about that when we were watching this movie.
That was pre-Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, it was kind of like... So, and I think we might have mentioned this too when we were talking about Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we were talking about him in
yeah,
like...
Yeah, the Hest was not... Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like they're all like walking around with their shirts off in like the 70s.
Yeah.
And everyone's like...
Yeah, throwing their weight around like they were massive 350-pound giants. You know what I mean? And fucking dudes had arms that just, you know, like that, you know? It's kind of funny how the standards
Like
change.
I said, all you had to
Arnold Schwarzenegger changed the world. When he showed up, people were like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah,
we're right. Going back to the
Yeah,
center.
That dude there.
I guess we're not
he
bad
changed the game.
After all.
He changed the game.
Well, like I said, all you had to do was kind of act like it.
You just had to act tough. You had to talk tough.
Yeah.
They
and it
really,
like it flew. Like in the 70s, people were like, oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, because Arnold wasn't around.
Yeah, that's true.
As soon as they saw that, they were like, oh, okay. Although, you know who I'm going to pull this out of my back pocket. He was around during that time. Charles Bronson, even though he wasn't a very tall guy, he was in real good shape in some of those movies.
Yeah.
Charles Bronson, probably 5'5", actually.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't fuck with him. He was in real good shape in some of those movies.
Yeah.
But, you know. Anyway, let's get back to...
Although, honestly, I always liked James Brolin. I like him in Amityville Horror.
He's a cool guy, yeah.
And
yeah.
I like him in this, too. And he's, you know, I also like his son, who has obviously been in a shit ton of movies also, including No Country for Old Men, which was a fucking rad movie. But I can see what you're saying. It's like, and I kind of love him in this because just his, like, facial expression when he turns around and the fucking car is there.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? it? It's yeah. like, it's kind of like the same facial expression as when he looks up and sees like the yeah. the human pig
it was
the,
an era
in the window
where,
in Happy Gilmore.
It was an era where guys grew beards and mustaches and were real serious and real hard-boiled, but they didn't really have to physically fight anybody. And if they did, they weren't very big.
Well,
that
yeah.
was just kind of like, you know, in the second movie, wasn't it Peter Fonda?
Yeah.
Peter Fonda.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to Peter Fonda was a scrawny son of a bitch, too.
Well, he had a rifle, so.
What's that?
He had a rifle in that movie,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, he was super scrawny.
He didn't need to be, he didn't need to yeah. punch people in the face because
he
had
a
rifle.
He had
a rifle.
But, but yeah, I really like this
the
movie.
The Great Equalizer.
Now, it is the devil. It starts off with the devil.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah, it's the devil. I mean,
he,
or.
You never see
or
him,
or some
though.
Kind of a demon has infested
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, I don't think, like I said, they don't make that.
You do see it.
Well, you see it at the very end.
You see it at the very end.
It looks like a snake, right?
The face of a serpent.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they're talking about Satan. And you
yeah.
see it in the flames, you know, when they destroy the car. But it, now, that was one of the cool things. I'm not going to spoil everything.
You should. Just go
this
ahead.
Movie's pretty old.
It's old, 1977.
They blow the car
Dude,
up.
Dude, I was five when this came out.
They blow the car up in midair and collapse an entire ridge because... See, there was a wife beater who had a bunch of dynamite, and he was kind of, she's laughing.
Did you ever think you would hear that sentence?
He's a wife beater, had a bunch
well,
of dynamite.
Yeah, he is a wife beater at the beginning.
Yeah.
But he redeems
he
himself
He redeems
at the
himself
end.
Because he had a bunch of dynamite. It's kind of 70s logic.
They're like,
and
well,
they,
he's got dynamite, and we need
yeah,
that
Yeah, and they
so.
Blow down an entire mountain. Well, I guess not really a mountain ridge, but a ridge line down in a crater.
In a, like a canyon.
Like in a canyon. They collapse a canyon on the car when it's flying up through the air in midair. You know, and the canyon comes down. And
it's metal as
hellfire
fuck.
Flies up. It's fucking heavy Whoa. Metal as shit. And then you see the face of this damn serpent spitting fire. And you go, yeah, they finally got it. But then real cool. Flash to Detroit. You see the fucking wheels of that car
Although
going
I think
down.
It's supposed to be L.A.
It's Detroit because it had
yeah.
fucking the GM.
Yeah.
The GM building was there. The
yeah,
Chrysler
it's just
building.
Like driving down the street
Her
going,
GM.
I survived,
yeah.
bitches. I'm the devil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
you can't kill me by blowing me
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so it respawns. It respawned back in Detroit.
like Which it, like makes more sense because, like I said, yeah. I was reading the Wikipedia breakdown and it said... That some cuts of the film, now some cuts apparently don't have that. Apparently yeah. some cuts of the film just end with the explosion. And I love the shot of like all the surviving cops because the car kills like half the fucking force. But at the end where they do the big explosion and everything and they're all like, ah!
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
they all see like the demon face in the flames.
Yeah.
They're just all like, what the fuck? Did you see that? No, I didn't
yeah.
see that. Whatever. And then I guess like some cuts of the film end there. But the cut we saw, and I presume the cut that's on Blu-ray or whatever
yeah.
that they've restored, actually has another little scene where with the credits rolling over it that shows the car
yeah.
perfectly fine and like tooling down the street.
Yeah.
Because like evil never dies. Man.
Yeah, it had the car had some badass aluminum wheels on it, aftermarket aluminum wheels. They're like solid drag wheels with holes in it. And you know, when you see the car part, when you see the car is pretty cool.
Yeah.
For a 70s car. You know, so it's just a 70s custom car. They widened that car by a foot, at least.
Doesn't, like, James Brolin's girlfriend in this movie
yeah.
calls the car a what? An upside-down bathtub? Is
yeah,
that what she calls it?
Yeah, she called it an upside-down bathtub. There are some
Can
hot,
we talk about...
There's some hot okay. there's some hot 70s girls in this, too. You know, all skinny and skanky with big boobs and shit. Fucking awesome.
I was, like, looking... Yeah. I could not get over...
Yeah.
because, and I say this, like, every time... Because I grew up in the 70s. I remember, like,
yeah.
these clothes and stuff like that.
It was a sexual time.
It's, well, I say this every time I watch a movie from the 70s. It's like, how the fuck did they get into those pants? How did they breathe?
70s was another era.
And I wear corsets
yeah.
on a regular basis. How did they get into those fucking pants? I couldn't get into those pants.
70s was another era. I mean, 70s was a
You
time.
Had to be, like, co-core skinny.
70s was a time when, like, one of the top number one groupies was a 13-year-old girl named Maddox.
Yeah.
You ever heard of her?
Yeah.
She didn't look 13, but she was 13.
Yeah.
Back, and that was, like, 73. That's how wild that time was.
Because, legit, there's one scene in this where James Brolin's girlfriend in this movie, who is a teacher, played by Kathleen Lloyd, and she is... They're doing like a parade or something, and she's like, you know, getting the band out there. They're rehearsing or whatever.
Little boy's handing pictures.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, she's wearing these pants, and they're gold, I want to say. But the pants in the 70s, like I said, it would only work on like Kokor skinny people. Yeah. Like, I don't see how a person with any hips or any weight on them whatsoever would be able to wear them.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It is, but because they come up to your waist, which, why?
And they tapered in, so I don't know how they actually tapered in over the waist. I mean, you had to lay down to get in them.
You must have, because and then there's like no, like I said, you couldn't have any pooch, you couldn't have any nothing.
Nothing they wore looked good on anyone that had any weight.
Right.
No.
That's what killed me.
Well, okay, now that I'm thinking about it, they were so high-waisted, they had a long zipper, longer than we would normally. So when you unzip them, you could get in it.
You just like unzip it all the way down.
All the way back up. And then buttoned it. That's what they were doing.
I just wore long dresses in the 70s.
But you were a little kid, though.
Well, I was skinny when I was little. But, when I got older, like, I'm like, how the fuck did anybody wear that?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not only that I'm not, like, Kokor skinny, but I'm also really, I have really short legs and I'm really short-waisted. So, a lot of those pants look super weird on
those pants didn't look good on anybody except real skinny, tall skinny.
That's what I mean. You had to be very
They look
very
great
skinny.
On David Bowie.
There you go.
Yeah, see that?
Pretty much everything looked great on David Bowie, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I love David Bowie.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had to be 6 feet tall at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about, though, okay, now, this movie, I love this movie, but it's 70s cheesy. It is cheesy as fuck. And honestly, James Brolin is good in it. Like, all the cops
James
and stuff
knocks
are
it
good
out of
in
park.
It.
Yeah.
And honestly, like I said, you know, they actually had an actual police force that was like, I don't remember how many cops there were, but there were like a dozen at least.
Yeah.
And they were like, there was some Native American ones. It was black guy. There was, so it was very like progressive. Or I was like, look at that.
No,
it's all like multi-culti.
That's just
no,
the way
I'm just saying.
California was. I
yeah,
grew
and
up
I'm
there.
Just saying that's kind of cool.
That's the way California was in the 70s.
And there were so many of them, of cops. Yeah. Like I said, it wasn't like small town that's just like one cop. Maybe they wanted so many cops just so they could kill off a bunch of them and still have some left.
Well, okay.
Because a bunch of the cops did get killed.
Well, the cops had to be the main characters because somebody had to fight the car.
Uh-huh.
So whose responsibility would that fall on? It would fall on the cops. So, you know,
because even like the police chief gets run over.
So the cops are kind of serving as the red shirts, of the, or you know what I mean? Or the
soldiers. That's what I'm saying. That's why they had to have so many.
And they all had their own characters, kind of like in the way the crew of the Nostromo from Alien 1 were all very good characters. They all had their own, their own motivations and stuff. You know, I love that movie too. But this was a good movie. It was a movie of its time, and there was a lot of 60s influence in the filming of it. You could tell the cinematography was kind of 60s. You know,
I have to say though that like,
but what it was a good movie.
What I was gonna say was that some of the characters, and particularly, I'm going to say James Brolin's girlfriend, who's the teacher, and also the guy with the trombone.
Yeah, on the side of the road.
On the side of the road, like outside the wife beater's house.
Yeah, there's this dude that gets killed. He's trying to be funny, and I don't know who thought that was funny.
It's just, it doesn't come across as, like, offensive. It just comes across as, like, what?
Yeah, it was a different... I think with the deal,
and I lived through the 70s. I still don't know.
I think whoever was directing it or whoever wrote the script or something was trying to emulate youth culture of the time, and they didn't really know youth culture of the time.
Yeah.
So they were trying to be like those cool hip kids. But,
I guess.
But they didn't know what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, he's
it just
sounded like,
very artificial.
It's like, here's this random kid
trying
that's
to
like,
be funny, and it's
well,
not
he's
funny.
Like sitting out in the middle of nowhere on what is clearly like a, it's sort of like a dirt road or like a dead end street in front of like the wife beater's house, and there's no other houses, there's no other nothing.
Yeah, and he's talking about the girls that are going to pick him up, who he's fantasizing, going to go what skiing down a Veracruz or some shit like that, and then later on he's talking about shoving a truck. The wife beater says, I'm going to shove that trombone up your ass. You're going to be farting music for it. And he goes, farting music. And he's going on.
And then
about,
he's like, what a
man,
great idea.
Farting,
and he goes off on that. Maybe he was supposed to be like on acid or something.
I think it was just a poorly written character.
And I have to say, too, that like, I mean, I've seen Kathleen Lloyd in some other things, but she's like totally goofy in this movie. Yeah. It's like, especially in the one scene where, because what happens is they realize that there's this car. They don't at first know that it's like supernatural or nothing, but like they know that there's this car going around like running people over. So they're like, hey, you know, might want to not do that band practice like outside, like you were planning on doing like for the parade. Right. And the teacher's like, oh, please, can't we please do it? He's like, well, maybe just do it later. And yeah. She was like, okay, so they do it. And then, of course, the car shows up and starts chasing them all. And then they all run up into the hills and they run into this cemetery, which is hallowed ground. But they didn't know that it was supernatural at the time. So they're all like hunkering down behind the tombstones. And they're just all like, why isn't the car coming in here? And the car is just like sitting out there like, you know, revving its engine like it's mad that it can't get in there. And then Kathleen Lloyd's character, she like gets out the front and then she starts like taunting it.
Yeah.
But the taunts were very strange. It's like, I can't,
it's like
really...
it's like they were trying to keep it PG.
Yeah, exactly. She wasn't swearing at it. She was just like making these really weird...
Yeah. They were trying to get around swearing somehow.
Yeah, it really did seem like that. So it did seem like she was just kind of out there goofy, like, look at you in your upside down bathtub. Why don't you come out here? Blah, blah, blah. And she was like that.
You're just a jerk.
Yeah.
Just a,
and I'm like, ooh, scandalous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the movie may have been PG.
It probably was. Because there wasn't really a lot of gore. It wasn't gory or violent, really.
One of the things that I could knock this movie about, though, is that there was... When you have the bad guy or the monster, a car, it's basically serving as the shark in Jaws, really, is what the car is serving as. You have an opportunity to go Mad Max on this, where you have vehicle versus vehicle combat.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that.
No.
It would have cost too much.
They did that in Race with the Devil.
They did it with Race with the Devil. We're going to get to Race with the Devil in a minute. Race with the Devil kind of reminded me a lot of Mad Max 1.
It did. There's a lot of...
But with Satanists.
Yeah.
So, but another good movie. Pretty good movie.
Yeah.
But with this one, they missed that opportunity. Just probably wasn't in the budget.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to have seen Brolin on that motorcycle that he did have.
Yeah, he did have a motorcycle.
Fight that damn car.
Yeah.
You know, from a motorcycle. Because
really, the only thing you got to see, I mean, you got to see, like, the car ran over some people.
It ran over pedestrians, basically.
It ran over, like, people on bicycles. Like, it was, like, it like, would, like, push him off. It like, fucked up that one girl and, like, it pushed that one guy off the bridge and he fell, like, however many feet that was and, like, died at the bottom of a ravine or whatever. But... You didn't get to see it, like, really engaged in combat with other cars. It's like it was chasing other cars. It was running over people that were in the road. Or at one point, like, spoiler alert, James Brolin's girlfriend gets killed because she was the one that was out there in the cemetery going, bring it, bitch, blah, 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 and, like, stuff.
She gets killed in her living room.
Yeah, so then she's on the phone going, I think I hear the engine. I'm really scared. She's on the phone with James Brolin, and the car goes, beach, and then
boom,
it goes,
right
like,
through the wall.
And it goes flying through the house.
Right through the living room.
And smushes her.
it gets her. It got
her. Pretty awesome, I have to say.
Yeah.
But like I said, it is kind of cheesy, so there's, like, some weird, but if you're into, like, that cheesy 70s thing, I think you will get a lot of enjoyment
out
of it.
It's kind of movie that you put on, you know what I mean, you get in bed, you turn the lights off, you start drinking, and you just...
like we do.
Yeah. And you and just relax and have a good time, don't read into it. You try to transport yourself back to another time in the 70s.
Yeah.
Into a more innocent time before CG... and expensive effects.
And it's fun to, like, kind of MST3K or Rift-Rex on that motherfucker also.
I don't know how younger people really would, but, you know, Gen X could relate to the nostalgia of this type of movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were maybe 7, 8 when this came out.
Yeah.
What year was this again?
77.
Yeah, so I was 7.
I was 5 when this came out.
Okay.
So I saw it, like, probably a few years later. I probably saw it when I was like 9 or 10, I'm thinking. Because I think I saw it on cable, pay channel, something like that.
At school, all the boys were talking about it. They loved this movie.
Like I said, I can't remember when The Book of Christine came out. I feel like that was probably in the early 80s. But I feel like Stephen King although Duel was probably a bigger influence, I would think.
Yeah.
Even though I'm pretty sure he wasn't, like, satanic or nothing. He was just, like, you never saw him. It was just, like, a trucker. You just saw his arm.
This movie kind of reminds me of a hybrid of Duel and Gargoyles. And, you know what I mean? And maybe, because Brolin's in it, maybe, like, you know, Amityville Horror. Yeah.
With a little bit of Satan sprinkled on top.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that there was nothing in the car, I thought. Because didn't that other Native American woman, when she was talking to the Native American cop, and then the other girl that worked in there, she said, yeah, she saw said that she saw in there and there wasn't a driver.
Yeah.
So the car was empty.
Well, the car itself was a demon of some sort.
Yeah.
I believe.
I wonder why. It's like they don't really explain why the car just turned up in this town and started running people over for
because the devil. That was 70s logic, man.
Because the devil was bored one day and he's like, I'm going to fuck with these people for no reason.
Brolin was shooting at the car with a 3-7 Magnum revolver.
Yeah.
And he didn't see any damage.
Yeah.
He walked up on it and the window rolled down a little bit. And I think the door opened. And he looked in there and they showed just Brolin's face. And he's like, whoa. And it shut and then the car took off again.
No, the door actually like went poop and like knocked him down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then it took off, right? Yeah. And they asked him what he saw, and he goes, nothing, I didn't see nothing.
Yeah.
So I guess there's nothing in the car.
Yeah, it's because that's what that lady said.
Right.
She said that she'd seen inside the car, and there was nothing in there.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. The car itself was actually
some kind of a demon. Yeah.
Which I guess, like I said, the devil has a lot of time on his hands. So, you know.
Well, I don't know if it's the devil. It might just be a demon. It looked like a serpent from
it's
the
like
flames.
A demon in training.
It's a demon, yeah.
That was like his first.
It's a possessed car.
The devil is like telling the like little trainee demons. It's like, all right, you take this town over here. Just like turn into something scary and like go fuck those people up.
That's the same shit from what? Christine and Maximum Overdrive. Wasn't that a possessed car too? Maximum Overdrive? Possessed truck?
Yeah. Well, no. Maximum Overdrive was possessed everything. Like, possessed every car and, like, pretty much every mechanical device. Because even, like, Coke machines and shit were, like, you know what I mean? Whereas Christine was possessed, but
it was
by
a
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't, like, a daemon.
Right.
It was just, like, possessed by a guy that had owned the car that was a shithead.
So you want to get on the other one now?
Yeah. Now let's talk about Race with the Devil, in our vehicular manslaughter double feature.
Yeah, all-star cast.
Yeah, this one came out in 1975. Peter Fonda is in this. Yeah. Warren Oates is in this. Loretta Swit is in this.
Yeah.
The whole time we were watching it, every time she did something, I'm like, hot lips, no!
Yeah. So,
that was a MASH reference for all you young people. So,
they don't know what you're talking about.
No. Well, you know, I would hope that people know what I'm talking about. That was a good show.
Yeah, and she was, it's funny that when you go back and you look at Loretta Swit, you realize how young she was.
Yeah. So this one is more... Now, I have to say, of the two movies, this one is less cheesy. I think... I mean, it's still cheesy because it's the 70s, but I like this one a little bit better just because from a movie-making standpoint, it's a more, like, tense experience.
There's
like
more characters in it. It's a more complicated story.
Yeah. And it's more like, it has that, like, paranoia thing going on, like Rosemary's Baby, where it's, like, you know, the satanic cult, and they're, like, everywhere, and, like, you don't know who to trust and shit like that.
Whole town's taken over by Satan.
Yeah, so I like that.
Kind of like Children of the Corn in a certain way, but it's adult.
Yeah. So I like that aspect to it, because it makes it, like, creepier, because, you know, you can imagine yourself being in that same situation, and then you're like, fuck, man, I can't even, like, pull over and get a flat tire fixed. And, like, is this dude a Satanist, too? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Two couples, they're from another area. I think they're from L.A.,
well,
aren't they?
Well, no, they're from San Antonio.
San Antonio.
They own the two guys, they own, like, a motorcycle.
Yeah, they're, like,
dealership. Race. They're motorcycle guys.
Yeah, racing dirt bikes.
Yeah. And so they decide that...
there's also, like, an older guy, younger guy dynamic.
Yeah,
too, between the two guys.
Yeah, because Warren Oates is older and Peter
Fonda's. He's like in his early 50s and the other guy's in his 30s. So, yeah. You're talking about, well, I used to be as fast as you when I was young. Now, that's the shit we do, you know. Fucking an older guy's going to start to lord over the younger guys, you know. Yeah, well, you know, back when I was young, I was faster than you were.
I was cooler than you. So
Yeah. So
even though I need a hip replacement.
Yeah, I got more money than you.
It's that.
Yeah, it's cool flick.
Yeah, so like what they decide to do, so they own a motorcycle dealership, and at the beginning of the movie, they decide they're going to take their wives, they bought a big like fancy RV, and they're actually heading toward Aspen, Colorado.
Yeah.
But they're going to drive there in their RV, so they're going to have to stop and camp along the way.
Yeah, and the RV takes you back to the 70s too, with all the damn carpeting and all the drapes and shit, and how cheap all that shit used to look. I remember, you know, my dad had one of those things.
Yeah.
And all the furnishings in it was fucking cheap looking, you know?
Everything looked cheap, looked like shit in the 70s.
Yeah.
Everything. It
looked like something that came out of the Soviet Union. They were all fucking tacky fucking colors.
It's like everything had that fucking faux wood paneling. It was so ugly.
Even the fibers in the carpet were real plasticky, you know? I can just remember all that shit.
Fucking. Everything was just like made of horrible.
Yeah,
like,
everything looked just
chemical materials. Yeah, even the clothes. It was awful.
It looked like something that came out of North Korea. Like a North Korean product.
It was awful.
Yeah.
But yet, well, we talked about this too, because when I rewatched the movie, because I actually watched this twice for the show, but I was like, the funny thing about it is that I feel like the RV, which was, it was Vogue, right? Because
Vogue,
I said,
Vogue,
like the Madonna song. I'll remember that. But I was like,
Vogue and Suzuki must have had a lot to do with this movie.
Yeah,
did they pay for product placement?
There are a couple scenes, it's not super distracting or super obvious, but there's a couple of scenes where, you know, like another couple like comes in and is like, ooh, check this out. It's got this, that, and the other. Oh, it's got a microwave.
Demoing the damn RV.
Right?
Look at this. And then look at all the storage we have here. Oh, yeah, you know.
Right? It was like that. So I was sitting there going, did this RV company like pay for a fucking plug in?
Fucking right they did.
I'm pretty sure they
did. I think Suzuki had a lot to do with it too. Oh, these bikes are so fast nowadays, you know. Yeah, yeah. Boy, they sure are reliable and dependable, you know, Suzuki's.
That is like hilarious to me because I feel like people nowadays that complain about product placement, like in movies or TV shows, nothing on the 70s or the early 80s. It was like super. They would just like stop in the middle and be like, hey, look at this, blah, blah, and they would spend like fucking 5 minutes on that.
Yeah,
shit.
Even like.
They didn't even attempt to hide it.
Yeah, even in television, you know, like you can go back to fucking like. I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched, you know, like I remember just off the top of my head a Bewitched episode where Darren gets this badass kit car that had radar in it and everything like that, and they sit there and just plug a damn he was a custom builder guy who was in LA who could fucking build fucking prototype cars. It was weird, you know. It was, they called it radar. I don't know if it really was radar. The display was just a bunch of lights.
Of course.
If something was in front of you or not. You
we
know?
Just put a bunch of light bulbs on.
Yeah, radar.
Some rubes will think that's
radar. It looked like some kind of a damn bubble car.
Well, shit, man. Look at, in the 50s, whole TV shows were sponsored by one advertiser.
Yeah.
And they would have like a whole, this whole show sponsored by Gainsburgers or whatever. Do they even have those anymore?
Shit out of Fallout, brought to you by General Atomics.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why they make that joke on the, because that's exactly what it was like. And so it's, like I said, it's not super, super blatant.
A nuclear future is a clean future. Shit like that.
It's not super blatant in this movie, but it was amusing enough that I noticed it. Because I was like, I think this RV company probably paid for a plug in this because they made like comments about,
look
at all the shit that we have in this
fancy
RV.
Yeah, you see every square inch of that RV.
Although later on, like when they're at an RV park and the other creepy couple comes in there, you know, just uninvited and are like, hey, let me paw through your shit. And they're like looking through there and they're kind of like implying, oh, ours is way nicer. So I don't know. So maybe not.
But they were the bad guys, though.
They were, yeah. They didn't. Oh, spoiler alert. They ended up being seriously, everyone ends up being Satanists in this.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about this movie, okay, so the two couples, they're, like I said, they're heading for Aspen, Colorado, but they have to drive through Texas first, unfortunately. And so they stop at this random meadow in Texas where they think nobody is. Now, the wives are being responsible, and they're just like, okay, we're going to bed early or whatever. They're just like sitting and reading, and they just go to bed. And then the two dudes are sitting out front, and they're getting drunk. And
they're dudes, yeah.
So, and the wives are like, are you guys ever coming in? It's like, we have to drive tomorrow, and we're going to end up driving because you guys are going to be hungover. And they're just like, whatever, we're coming in, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So then, like, they're outside drinking. And they look across the meadow and they see like this creepy tree and everything like that. And then they see these people in robes. And then there's like, oh man, let's go check that shit out. Maybe it's like hippies or whatever.
Yeah, the older guy goes, maybe there's an orgy going to happen.
Right, right, right. So they get super excited. So like, get the binoculars, man. So they go over there and check it out. And then they're like, oh, look, titties. Yay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah, so there's a bunch of like hot girls fucking, you know, nude or semi-nude. And dudes with damn masks on and, which is funny when you see him later on, They had them towels tied around their necks like capes. Remember that shit?
Or maybe they were tablecloths. I'm not really sure. Well, I feel like it's funny whenever I see something like that in a movie. If everybody has to be in a satanic cult or whatever, they're just like, okay, well, this is kind of a low budget movie, so everybody just like bring your own costume. Mm-hmm. So I feel like most of the actors are like, well, shit, man, I don't have like a fucking black robe or nothing like that. So they just grab the fucking, they grab an Afghan off the back of the couch.
Satanist costumes looked terrible. They were fun.
Well, there was no like consistency.
But they're watching this big fucking thing going on, and they actually and they're just kill
like,
a girl. Woo.
Yeah, and then like all of a sudden, stab, and they're just like, oh. Yeah. Fun's over. We can't be excited about the titties anymore.
The girls are like, what the hell happened? Oh, we saw them. They killed somebody. We got to get the hell out of here. And then they told the cops and everything. And then the cops are like, oh, you didn't see that. Yeah, maybe they're just drugged. And the cops are trying to talk them out of it.
They're gaslighting them.
Yeah, and they're going, no, we know what we saw. Well, the cops are in on it, too. You know what I mean?
Well, see, now, I liked that about it because they go to these fucking cops. And the guy that plays the main cop, he's like a super famous like character actor. I can't remember what his name is, but he's in like every... I think he was in the car, too, wasn't he?
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think the same...
He was,
yeah.
Yeah.
So the same actor. I was like, oh, there's another reason we should do this. Yeah, the same actors are in there. So they go to the cop, and the cop's just kind of like, okay, well, we're going to go out there and see and, you know, see where it happened and blah, blah, blah. So they go out to the site, like, the following day when the sun's up, and then there's, like, there's blood on the ground. He's like, yeah, but that could be... this, that, and the other thing. That might not be human blood. It could be animal blood. And there's like a dead wolf like hanging from it, or a dog or whatever, like hanging from a tree. And they're like, okay, well, that's weird, right? And they're just like, whatever, you guys and your drugs and whatever. Yeah. And like I said, they're just totally gaslighting them. So Peter Fonda, Skinny Peter Fonda. Yeah. He doesn't tell the other people what he's doing, but he's like, when the cops have their back turned, he, like, scoops up, like, a bunch of the blood, and he's like, I'm going to take this to, like, a real city, Amarillo, and he's like, I'm going to take it to a lab, and I'm going to have them analyze. If this is human blood, we're, like, reporting this shit, because he did not trust the cops immediately, because afterward he said, you know, when we were driving out to the site where that sacrifice happened, the cop didn't ask us where the turn was. He just turned, like he already knew.
Like he knew, yeah.
So Peter Fonda was onto them, like, from the beginning. Right. Now, I have to say that... So, you know, what I mean... The wives are, like, trying to clean up the fucking... Because the... When they try to get away from the satanic cult, they get stuck in a puddle and all this other shit. Like, the Satanists are, like, running after them and, like, climbing all over their RV and whatnot. And they break the windows and all this other stuff. So then the next day when they're cleaning up, they find this note with, like, all these runes on it. And there's, like... It was almost like an evil version of, like, the Wiccan Reed, where, like, whatever you do comes back to you 3 times. But they actually said 9 times. So, like, whatever evil you do comes back to you 9 times or 7 times. I can't remember. But, so they were like, well, what do these runes mean? Well, let's go to the library and check it. Remember when you had to do that? Like, go to the library. So they go to the library and they try to take out all these books about the satanic runes and stuff. And then the librarian's like, well, you can't take those because they're reference books.
Reference book, yeah.
Or whatever.
I was always trying to take the reference books when I was a kid.
I was too.
Yeah. But I can't check it out. It's got all the airplanes in it.
I know. You're like, what the fuck? Yeah, this is like, bullshit.
You can't check it out. It's the best book in here.
I know, they wouldn't let you take the reference books.
I know.
But yeah, so the minute the woman says that, Loretta Swood is totally like, oh yeah, we're totally going to put these back, wink, wink, wink. Yeah. And then she tells the other wife, she's like, we're going to put them back, right? Oh yeah, we're in. So they steal them. But but what they find out, so they get the thing, it's like, okay, well, these people are Satanists and they're following us and everything. So they start going from, like, town to town, like, little town to little town. Now, their RV is kind of fucked up because the Satanists were jumping on their shit and, like, breaking everything. So they have to stop at this other gas station. I don't think they super specify, like, how far away it is. But you can tell when they stop at this gas station because I think it's one that the cop recommended. And they stop there and they're just like, hey, can you fix this, that, and the other? And I'm like, that dude's just going to cut their brake lines, isn't he? And he does. Mm-hmm. But, and then, like, they keep going, like, because they know how to, like, fix the RV themselves. So they do that, like, farther down the line. But I don't know how far they're going, because eventually they almost get to Amarillo. So I don't know how far it was from, and I don't know how far, I'm not from Texas. I don't know how far it is from San Antonio to Amarillo. But they're driving, and they keep going through these little towns. And, like, everybody in these fucking towns is a Satanist.
Yeah, I mean, when this was going on, I was asking Jenny, I was like, well, how big is this Satanist colony?
Everybody knows
about it. Seemed like it was going on for a long time. You said, well, they hadn't been driving. It was the same day. They weren't driving any more than one day.
Yeah, it wasn't like a long, like, it was only a few miles, like I said, because their RV kept getting fucked up.
Right.
So they kept having to stop. And then, like, they'd stop in a town and go in, like, this scary, like, Leatherface-looking store. It's like, hey, can we use your phone? And they're like, yeah, sure. And then they'd use the phone and it didn't work. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, the lines have been down because some storm from up north. Sorry about that. It's been down for, like, a month or whatever. I'm like, everybody is fucking in on it. It's like Rosemary's Baby.
Now, in this, let's get the fuck out of Dodge phase of this movie, it starts to get... starts to get a lot like Mad Max 1, if you ask me. I love Mad Max. Now, of course, it's almost impossible to beat Mad Max.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the gold standard.
That movie's like a gold standard. But there was a lot of, like, vehicle action. They're on top of that. They're ramming the back of because
they get chased by the Satanists, like, it's in these trucks, and they're all, because, they're like, coming in, they're trying to knock the RV off the road, and Peter Fonda is up there with his, because they stop and buy guns.
They're ramming the back of the RV and crushing the motorcycles, they're getting on top of the RV, they're trying to get inside, and I was like, man, they're really trying to do what Mad Max 1 did, I think. I don't know which movie was first, but, you know, I appreciated the effort.
Yeah.
It wasn't anywhere near as cool as Mad Max 1.
No, but not a lot of things are.
But we're talking about an American movie. The Mad Max series was just Australia at its best.
Yeah.
They're just proven that they were crazier than fucking Americans. I love all the Mad Max movies. Yeah.
I do, of course.
And the only one that I don't totally love is Thunderdome, and that's, of course, a Hollywood movie. But the Australian ones are fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Even
I love Australia.
Even Fury Road. Yeah, Fury Road was fucking fantastic.
Fury Road was actually shot to my top 10 movies. I can watch that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And never get tired of it.
Right. Even though I know there's some CG in there.
But not a lot.
They're mostly just erasing the safety harnesses and erasing tire tracks.
Not a lot. I saw the behind the scenes shit and that's really not. That's pretty much all they did.
If you guys haven't seen a badass fucking flick or any of the fucking Mad Max movies, see Mad Max 2, also known as The Road Warrior.
Yeah.
That movie right there is a fucking badass flick. And all those fucking accidents and car wrecks and all those stunts are real. Yeah. Some of those dudes got busted up.
Yeah.
Broken legs doing motorcycle stunts and stuff. They're an excellent movie.
And like I said, so that's what I like about... That's why if I had to choose between these two movies, like, if I had to say which one is a better movie, I would probably pick this one because it has more of that Mad Max kind of chase feel to it, because it's essentially, it's a road movie. It's these two couples in an RV, and they're trying to get away from the Satanists, and they're mostly driving, and there's really good scenes of, like, you know, the Satanists will be in the trucks or whatever, and they're trying to run the RV off the road, and the cars get all fucked up, and, you know, they try to do roadblocks and all this other stuff. So it's, like, got a really good tense kind of action to it, because it's just like a chase film, like, pretty much through the whole thing.
I think I would agree that technically, I'd probably say that this movie's better than the car.
Yeah.
But I like the fucking ambience, you know what I mean? Or the gestalt of the car.
Yeah.
And I think it had a lot to do with the soundtrack and the score. Yeah. And Brolin.
Yeah.
And just the way that movie went. It's a conventional movie of the time. And in a way that might help me enjoy it a little bit better. There wasn't any really surprises in it. It's just like, it gave me exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I mean,
along the lines of, like, Amityville Horror, you know.
If you're watching a movie called The Car that's about a satanic car,
then it gives
from
you
the
that.
70s, then that's about what you
that's
would expect
about
to happen.
What you're expecting to happen. And so I like that. I'm going to give it to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I have
as an experience,
to say,
as
yeah,
an experience.
I have to say, and like I said, this is a spoiler alert, so if you don't want to know the ending of these movies, then, well, I think we already spoiled the ending of The Car, but if you don't want to know the ending of Race with the Devil, just skip over like 5 minutes or something like that. But The Car, has a marginally happy ending in that, I mean, a lot of people died, including James Brolin's girlfriend, who got smushed by the car, like, crashing through her house, like, 6 feet off the ground, which was amazing. But, you know, they sort of defeated the car in the end, in the sense that it's implied that they, like, got it out of their town or whatever, even though at the end you see that it's still alive and it's still going. Now, Race with the Devil does not really have a happy ending. I mean, they don't really show what happens, but what happens is that, you know, as they're kind of going along the way and they're realizing they're trying to get to Amarillo so they can, like, which is a real city, I guess it's like the next big city on their route, and they're trying to get there and get the blood to the, you know, lab or whatever and, like, report it to the police, because obviously everyone behind them is Satanists, so they're trying to get there, but when they stop at this one particular place, you know, and they think, oh, we almost made it. Like, we can hear a radio station from Amarillo, so we're almost there. And then all of a sudden the cult catches up with them. You know, there's flames around the, you know, there's a big, like, fire ring, like, around their RV, and, like, all the Satanists come out them. And you can see, like, everybody that has been, like, that weird couple that came in their RV and, like, looked into all their shit and, like, took them out to this horrible country western bar that I would never step foot in for. And I'm like, yeah, that's hell, all right. You should have known immediately. But yeah, it's like, and they're all getting in fights and whatnot. But so those people, the cop, like, everybody comes out and they're just like, oh, they're all Satanists. And you assume they're going to get killed, because what the fuck are they going to do? It's like, they have two rifles, but they're going to run out of ammo before they shoot all the Satanists. So you assume that the two couples get sacrificed by the Satanists. I mean, that's pretty much what I thought was the end of that. So that actually has, like, a sad ending. Also, a dog gets killed.
Yeah, it does. He gets hung from a door, actually.
That upset me probably more than it should have. And you know what I mean? It's funny, because I can watch horror movies where people get killed all day long, and it's not that I don't care. It's just kind of like, oh, a person got killed. But man, you kill a dog or a cat in a movie, I'm just like, why? Why did you do that?
I'm going to give it to the car.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to the car, like, the tone of the movie. It delivered. Like you said, if you want to see a car, if you want to see a movie about a satanic car, a 70s flick, it delivers.
Yeah, it's like proto-Christine.
It gives you everything that you're expecting. And the ending and everything, this way it ended, I'm like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they blew the shit up.
There you go. And then, you know.
With the wife beater.
I liked the fucking tone of that movie.
We didn't go into the wife beater thing when we were talking about the car.
We'll let them go into that shit. There's a dude in that movie, in the car, who was beating his wife.
Yeah.
But it all turned out okay, because he had dynamite. And the cops needed it,
so they let him out of jail.
That's right. It's 70s morality.
Although, I have to say, I kind of like, even though he kind of got redeemed at the end, I did like the way they treated, like, his wife, because she, you know, she gets brought into the police station because she's all, her face is all
busted up. Yeah, they're trying to help her,
And he's trying to help her. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's like, please, will you please press charges this time?
She didn't want to press charges.
Well, yeah, because she was afraid that he would kill her, because that's what happened.
Right.
But yeah, so I liked that they did that.
Yeah.
But so that had a sort of, the car has more of a marginally happy ending, because, like I said, you feel like they defeated it at least temporarily.
I think what was supposed to happen with
Race with the Devil does not have a happy ending.
I think what was supposed to happen with the wife beater character is that because he had the dynamite and he went out there and fought the devil car, all right, and put his ass on the line, that was the atonement.
Yeah.
You know, I think we were supposed to believe that
he was just going to go home and not beat his wife anymore.
I don't believe that. He turned over a new leaf, that he's now a good guy.
Yeah.
But that's the way those movies worked.
Yeah, true.
You know, that's the way those movies worked.
Yeah. Like I said, in Race with the Devil, there's really no anything. I mean, it kind of comes, it's more realistic in the sense that, look, if everyone's a Satanist in every fucking town leading up to Amarillo, and all you have is, like, your RV and, like, two rifles, and there's, like, these Satanists are chasing you, and they're intent on killing you because you saw their sacrifice or whatever, then they're probably going to get you in the end. And they do. Yeah. And like I said, I was very upset about the dog's name was Ginger, by the way.
She's always worried about the dog.
No, I'm just saying.
It wasn't a real dog.
Do you know that there, I don't know if you know this, but there is a whole website called doesthedogdie.com that they review every single movie. And they will tell you if there's a dog that gets killed in it, because people get upset by that.
Jenny, the dog didn't die. I know. The dog didn't die. It was not a real dog.
It did upset me, though. It upset me in the movie, even though I'm probably like, even this dog actor is probably like long dead because it was a long time ago, but it's still like really upset me. And I'm a cat person.
It's just a movie, Jenny.
I know.
Dog didn't die. It was a fake dog.
I know. But it's still
they're
just
playing with your emotions. Playing with your emotions.
It's funny that they can do it with a dog or a cat, but not with a human. Yeah. that probably says a lot about me.
We can wrap it up. Both of these movies are available on Shudder now. And of course, we're not plugging Shudder. Shudder isn't paying us. Shudder owes us so much fucking money because all we do is talk about the movies that are on Shudder. Shudder, you can see Shudder for like $7 a month. And I think I like it better than Netflix, actually.
Not even $7.
No, what is it, $6 a month?
$4.
You owe us, Shudder.
It's $4 a month.
$4 a month?
Although, I think I might do, because what they do, if you pay once a year, I think it's $47, then that's only like $3.99 a month. $3.99 so I actually might do an annual payment instead of a monthly payment. Yeah. Even though $5 a month isn't really
And every week they got new movies.
I think it's actually going up a dollar, so if you want to get Shudder, you might want to get it before the end of May, because I think their prices are going up.
Okay.
But it's only going up a buck. It's only going up to like $5.99 a month.
All right, we can wrap it up.
I mean, you know. But yeah, like I said, check these two out. If you like satanic movies from the 70s, which I do, I love that shit. If you like vehicular type of movies, you know, car chase type of movies, you'll like that too. Probably Race with the Devil better. But, you know.
I ain't gonna fight over it.
You're not gonna.
I ain't gonna fight over it. I'm gonna say the car was better. The car was kind of like the satanic version of Jaws.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I like
that.
I liked
a valid
it better
opinion.
It was just simple. It was simpler. It was more of a, like a direct. It was direct and to the point.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying I liked Race with the Devil better because it was more like tension and there was more like the whole paranoia thing because everyone was in on it.
What I liked about
which
that
freaks
one,
me out.
What I liked about that one is that it had elements of Mad Max in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it that. It was good.
That too. They fucked up a lot of cars.
Yeah, it was good. Maybe had I saw it earlier when I was younger, maybe I would have had like a greater affinity for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can go, you know, I've seen the car a long time ago. So I already kind of favored it.
Holy shit. I just remembered the name of that fucking William Shatner movie. The Devil's Reign.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
God fucking damn it. It took me the whole show to remember the name.
Well, we got to see that again and we'll do a show on that one too.
I want to do a show on that. Like I said, you know, there's probably the only movie in the history of movies that has Ernest Borgnine in a goat head. And it's a pretty good
satanic Shatner movie.
And Anton LaVey's in it too.
Yeah, that's right.
Even he's just like in the background. Man, Anton LaVey would be in anything back in the 70s. He's like, yeah, I'll be a consultant on your movie. Put me in that shit.
He's a pussy.
But that's what he would do. So, yeah, we'll have to do The Devil's Reign too. But, yeah, go check out these two movies, The Car and what's the other one called? Race with the Devil.
Race with the Devil.
I forgot what the other one
was. You're not that drunk.
No, I know. I'm just, my brain's not working. I've been working all day. All right, so that'll do it for this movie retrospective. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, if you like the show, like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you would like to financially support the show, it would be much appreciated. You can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or go to our blog, 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there is a little button in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to give a one-time donation. Remember that our movie retrospectives come out every Friday, our regular episodes come out every Tuesday, and our 13 o'clock matinee, which is three new movies in the theater, comes out every Sunday, so check them out if you haven't already, and that will do it for this episode. We will see you next time. Bye.